Smith and Caitlin DeSilvi, and we're conducting historical interviews of the Bonner, Milltown, Riverside, West Riverside area for to be housed in the university archives for people to hear, learn, and be able to learn about the area over time. And so we have some questions, and we'll hope that we can have a conversation about your life here in the area.
I'll answer what I can remember.
Okay, great. So the first is, what is your name, and where and when were you born?
My name is Ilona Hangus. My maiden name was Ruanna. And I was born in New Leipzig, North Dakota, in February 21st, 1937. And my parents moved to Montana when I was about 2 months old.
Did they move to
to the Milltown area, yes. They were planning to go as far as the coast, but they liked this area so well, and they met a Finnish gentleman who had a little gas station and a car repair shop, and my dad did some work for him, and he asked my dad to stay on working for a while, and he did.
So what area did you live in when you were a tiny baby then? Is the house still here somewhere?
It's on the corner of 3rd Street and West Riverside Drive. And now it houses the Ruanna Knife Works. The house, of course, was all torn down, and the shop was built there, and the shop has been added on to a couple years ago. So it's more like a business building.
Yeah. So what was the story of your family starting that business, and how did that come about?
My father was 17 years old when he was in the Army, and he was able to shoe horses, and he was in the cavalry, and so he was one of their main men to keep those horses going. He was shoeing all the horses for them, and he had some little nails, and he was using the hammer in that and pounding them out into shapes of little knives. That's how he got started. And then he actually had a couple of, they, I believe, were Native American Indian persons who stopped by and asked if he could make them a knife that would skin a buffalo, because they were coming to Montana. And so he made them each a knife to skin buffalo with. And that was really the first of his knife making.
Goodness, he was living in North Dakota at that time?
He was in Kansas.
Oh.
He was in the Army in Kansas. So he's goes way back when.
So he brought that trade with him when he came to Montana?
He brought the trade with him. He was a... Actually, he had worked in the highway department in North Dakota, and as a machinist, probably you would call him now, on their big machinery and that, on road building. And then he decided to move west, and that was when the big plants out on the west coast were hiring so many people, and they needed his type of work there, but he never got that far. So.
And did he start making, I mean, he was working in the garage, but then was he making knives at that time too?
He made a few knives on the side, and then he also did welding for H&H Welding in Missoula, and he welded for the federal government once more, and for the Forest Service out at the Fort Missoula area. You see the great big water tower out there? He welded that together way back in the 40s, or early 40s, and that was when they had the Italian prisoners out there, and he was working right amongst them. He said they were very nice people.
So did you, have you lived then in this area your whole life, or did you ever leave and come back?
I left for 7 years. My husband started a job with the telephone company, and we traveled all over the state. That was after I was married, and we traveled to Miles City, and to from there we went to Livingston, and then we went to Haver and back to Missoula, and then we went to Billings again, and that's where he finally decided he might want to be a knife maker. He works very well with his hands, and he was just at a point in his life, he said, you know, I think I could make those knives with your dad. So he approached my father, and my dad said he would give him a year as an apprentice to see how he worked. And they worked out well together. There was some good and some bad, and Vic had a lot of learning to do, but he did a very good job, and now he's a specialist at it. And he's just happened to be ill this last year, but our two sons are working with him. And they are making the knives and running the knife shop. So
the family really continued to...
Yes, it's definitely a family business. And our youngest son graduated. He got a master's degree at the university in business management. So he kind of fell into the wonderful position of keeping track of all the records, and he's the one who got the computers set up in the shop. And, I mean, he's not a whiz at it, but he certainly is compared to me. He does a very good job, and he uses the computer to the fullest. He really does a good job.
When did you get married? What year did you get married?
1956. We were both 19 years old. I hate to see 19 years old, your olds get married today, but...
Yeah. So did you ever work as well in the shop or anything?
Not in the shop, but when I graduated from high school, I had several little jobs. I worked out at the American Crystal Sugar Company.
So did you?
For one fall. And then I went to work for the telephone company myself, before my husband did, as in their front office. I was the boss's secretary. Mm-hmm. And then I traveled with my husband when he moved from job to job around the state. And I had lots of work to do because they were changing all of these smaller towns to direct dial instead of number, please. Uh-huh. And that was a fun job for me. And I worked until 1958, was it? I actually worked for 2.5 years, but then those days when you were pregnant, you didn't show yourself in public, not in the telephone office anyway, so... I had to quit my job. That wouldn't happen nowadays, but it did then. Yeah.
So you went to school
at Bonner.
Mm-hmm. Up to the 8th grade.
Bonner Elementary. Mm-hmm. Loved every minute of it. Missoula County High School. It's now Hellgate. I rode the bus. There was a bus out here.
Mm-hmm. So what is, it's kind of a big question, but like, what is the biggest change you've seen in the last 50 years in this area? If you just sort of have to look back on it all. Sorry, we're making you think backwards here.
That's okay. I shut my eyes, and it's kind of like a whirlwind, everything. The biggest change, for one thing, that dam being removed and the Bonner Mill Dam being removed. And that, I think, is probably the biggest change we've seen around here.
How do you think it's affected the community so far?
Well, one thing, I kind of feel at first it divided them. People on this side had the Italian prisoners out there, and he was working right amongst them. He said they were very nice people.
So did you, have you lived then in this area your whole life, or did you ever leave and come back?
I left for 7 years. My husband started a job with the telephone company, and we traveled all over the state. That was after I was married, and we traveled to Miles City, and to from there we went to Livingston, and then we went to Haver and back to Missoula, and then we went to Billings again, and that's where he finally decided he might want to be a knife maker. He works very well with his hands, and he was just at a point in his life, he said, you know, I think I could make those knives with your dad. So he approached my father, and my dad said he would give him a year as an apprentice to see how he worked. And they worked out well together. There was some good and some bad, and Vic had a lot of learning to do, but he did a very good job, and now he's a specialist at it. And he's just happened to be ill this last year, but our two sons are working with him. And they are making the knives and running the knife shop. So
the family really continued to...
Yes, it's definitely a family business. And our youngest son graduated. He got a master's degree at the university in business management. So he kind of fell into the wonderful position of keeping track of all the records, and he's the one who got the computers set up in the shop. And, I mean, he's not a whiz at it, but he certainly is compared to me. He does a very good job, and he uses the computer to the fullest. He really does a good job.
When did you get married? What year did you get married?
1956. We were both 19 years old. I hate to see 19 years old, your olds get married today, but...
So did you ever work as well in the shop or anything?
Not in the shop, but when I graduated from high school, I had several little jobs. I worked out at the American Crystal Sugar Company.
So did you?
For one fall. And then I went to work for the telephone company myself, before my husband did, as in their front office. I was the boss's secretary. Mm-hmm. And then I traveled with my husband when he moved from job to job around the state. And I had lots of work to do because they were changing all of these smaller towns to direct dial instead of number, please. Uh-huh. And that was a fun job for me. And I worked until, 1958, was it? I actually worked for 2.5 years, but then those days when you were pregnant, you didn't show yourself in public, not in the telephone office anyway, so... I had to quit my job. That wouldn't happen nowadays, but it did then. Yeah.
So you went to school
at Bonner. Mm-hmm.
Up to the 8th grade.
Bonner Elementary. Mm-hmm. Loved every minute of it.
Hellgate.
Missoula County High School.
Which
yeah.
Is now,
yeah. Okay. It's now Hellgate. I rode the bus. There was a bus out here.
So what is, it's kind of a big question, but like, what is the biggest change you've seen in the last 50 years in this area? If you just sort of have to look back on it all. Sorry, we're making you think backwards here.
That's okay. I shut my eyes, and it's kind of like a whirlwind, everything. The biggest change, for one thing, that dam being removed and the Bonner mill dam being removed. And that, I think, is probably the biggest change we've seen around here.
How do you think it's affected the community so far? That
well, one thing, I kind of feel at first it divided them. People on this side.
Underneath the outcrop of rocks or not quite that far?
It's right across from it.
Yeah.
Just right across from it. Yeah, my mother didn't want me swimming where the rocks were until we learned how, but we did shortly later. We did learn to swim well enough to swim over there. And it was just fun. There were kids from Bonner and Milltown and Pillsville and all over the place. Everybody went out.
Did you have a name for that place? This is the swimming hall? Yeah. I know their names.
To the cliff, they said. They called it the cliff at Bonner. Can we go down to the cliff at Bonner?
So was there much interaction with the kids from Bonner? And I mean, you say for swimming, but in another recreation?
Yes. They were my friends from all over. We did all kinds of things together. In the wintertime, a little pond in Bonner behind the house, behind the mill houses, there was a little pond that was flooded over. And we'd go up there and we'd skate. And there were just different things like that. Yeah, I had good friends in each area, it seemed like. So, and we all had bicycles. And those were the days when our parents weren't afraid to let us go out and ride the bicycles.
Did you ever go out on the reservoir or the pond, I guess people called it, in a boat? Or?
No, but I had gone across the railroad bridge at East Missoula. I don't know why I did it, because it scared me to death. But I walked over that, and we got over to where the Tunnel Lake was, they call it. And we'd swim over there, a bunch of us. And I got over there, and I said, I'm not walking back on that bridge, and everybody else was going to. I said, I'm not going to. And so I walked way to Pillsville, crossed the Duck Bridge up there, and walked way back.
Oh, my.
All by myself.
And how old were you, do you think?
I was 12. And I thought, if a child of mine would do that now, I would be absolutely worried sick. And, you know, I wasn't real big or anything. I was kind of a slightly built little thing. But I was determined not to get on that bridge again. I wasn't very brave with that.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be a scary bridge.
It was.
Yeah. So, has the appearance of the houses, the roads, the landscape changed a lot over the time you've lived here?
One thing, it seemed like the houses were... I remember when I was little. Now, I don't remember a lot of detail, but I remember a lot of the houses being well kept. And then as the people got older, they died off. Or their relatives took over their home and started renting them out and that. And some of the houses really went downhill. They needed repair and a lot of work done. And there was a period of time when this whole area kind of started looking seedy. And now it seems like people are perking up their property. They're doing some remodeling and they're fixing up the yards and everything. And the homes are starting to look much more pleasant, and the whole area has just had an uplift.
Are there different people moving in? Is that the sense you get?
I think there are. There's younger families that are moving in, and they are really interested in keeping their homes up. And and nowadays, to buy a home, most young people can't afford to.
It's true. Yeah, so... as the area changes and different people move in, does the sense of, do you talk to your neighbors more or less than you remember? What do you remember as a kid about neighborliness and people?
We lived on the corner of First Street there, and I remember it. I just loved the neighbors that we had. This little old lady, this couple, they were Finnish, and... they were so dear. They were just the most wonderful people. And their name was Karkkonen. I don't know if you're interested in names.
You know, I think we've actually listened to the interview with Hazel.
With Hazel?
She was interviewed for 20 years ago.
Okay, Hazel was right across the street from my parents and from this Jenny and John Karkkonen. And... they were such dear people to us. We loved to go over there, and my mother had to almost hold us back and keep us from pestering. And then another thing, too, the old farmhouse down against the mountain where Arnold Zog lived. You've probably heard about him. I used to run every single... You wanted to stop it.
You mentioned, you were talking about the Karkinens, how much you love them, and it seems, I mean, these communities used to have a lot more sort of Finnish and French-Canadian and different people, and has that changed quite a lot? What do you remember about that?
Oh, yes, it definitely has changed. I think I'm the only all-Finnish person left in this area.
Really?
I don't know of any other. There are some who are part Finnish, but I think I'm the only one. I've tried to think back. And there were a lot of Finnish people. And there's always been a bunch of ethnic groups around the Milltown area. There's been the French, Swedish, Norwegian, and of course the Finnish. And there were Italian. There was a little bit of everything, and it made it quite interesting. And I think at one time they said there were 7 bars in Milltown, and each had its own ethnic background.
Did your family socialize with other Finns? Was that something?
Not a whole lot. There were 5 of us children, and my dad was real busy working, and my mother was busy just being a homemaker and that. And we didn't socialize with them, like going to parties and that. But, you know, they were friendly with them. And once in a while, my mother would have coffee with them. And the couple little old ladies in the neighborhood, she'd go over and she'd fix their hair for them and things like that.
So what language did you speak growing up at home?
I spoke all English, and I speak all English now, and I'm so sorry I did not learn to speak Finnish. Huh. My mother would have been an excellent teacher because she used to translate. People around here would get letters from Finland, and she would translate them for them. And
did your parents speak English to each other or Finnish?
Once in a while, they spoke Finnish when they didn't want us to be involved. But they spoke English.
Had they both been born in Finland then?
No. No. My mother was born in North Dakota, and my dad was born in Minnesota.
Okay. So they were first generation American, and their parents had come over, probably? Or?
My dad's parents, I believe, were from Finland. And then my mother's... were from Finland also, too. I believe her mother came from Sweden, but she was a Finnish lady. So.
Yeah, that's neat. Do you remember there being any tension at all between those different groups, or was it pretty amicable?
Not when I was growing up, but I understand earlier there was a little bit of competition in that thing. Probably all thought they were a little better than the others.
Is there a similar sense of that between West Riverside and Bonner people and Piltsville, like division? Because I know earlier on maybe there was that too.
Not with my group of friends in our age group. There didn't seem to be. We all just wanted to be friends and get together when we could.
Yeah.
Have the opportunities for women in the community changed? I mean, do more women work now than they work outside the home?
I think quite a few women work outside the home. And I actually did, after I started having my children, I was home for 21 years before I went back to work. And then I thought, well, I might as well do something. So I went back to work and worked till I retired.
What did you do then?
I was a business manager in an OBGYN office.
Oh.
So, it's very...
In Missoula?
In Missoula. Oh,
that community.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had my first child there 4 months ago.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Who was your doctor?
I was working with a nurse midwife. Nancy Everett.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know her. Yes.
Let's see. How did the coming of the interstate, when it came through in the 60s, affect the community and what people
want to do. One thing, the old highway was very, very slow, and we were in much need of an interstate, very much in need. And just driving to and from town on that old highway, because all of the big trucks, everything was on that old highway. Mm-hmm. And when the interstate came in, we thought we died and gone to heaven.
Yeah, people really welcomed it then.
Oh, I did. Yeah. I don't know how the rest of them felt, but I thought it was wonderful. Yeah. I thought it was just grand to have a place where you could go and not get run over or into so readily.
Yeah. So did your family have a car when you were growing up, or did you take the bus mainly, or the...
I was mainly on the bus, but my dad always had a car. And then when I was 18, I learned to drive because I had jobs that I had to go to. But my dad always had a car.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how the departure of the Anaconda Company in the early 70s affected folks? Did that make a big difference to people, or...
I think everybody was real curious to see what was going to happen with the next owners, and some people were complaining about the Anaconda Company, but they were a very, very good company for the area. We didn't happen to be involved with them work-wise, mm-hmm. but for what they did for the community, they were very, very good.
Did Champion or do as much for the community, or is that sort of... Champion and Stimson, has that sort of declined?
That has declined mm-hmm. throughout the years. And you could just kind of see the handwriting on the wall that things were going downhill, and that there wasn't that much interest in the community. There wasn't that much activity at the mill or anything. So they were real busy there, but they didn't seem to be involved in the community.
What do you think about their decision to take those houses down in Bonner?
It breaks my heart. I've been in several of them as a little girl. I remember the one, my girlfriend had a piano at home, and she took piano lessons from one of the ladies that lived in that row of houses, and I'd always walk up there with her one day a week after school, and I'd sit there while she had her piano lesson, and then I'd walk home with her. And I thought that was just so neat, those houses up there. Mm-hmm. Then I had another girlfriend who lived in a house up there. And I thought it was just the neatest thing for them to have houses that close to the river and everything.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Easy to get to the swimming hole from there.
Yeah. Real close.
Has the creation of the community council changed the way residents view Milltown and Bonner? And do you think has that been a good?
Or will you mean competitive wise or anything?
Well, just that there is some sort of semi-governmental unit that.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. I really do. So there's some guideline for people to follow and know. Kind of get some rules and regulations set up for some things.
It's pretty new yet, though. I guess it's kind of
The council is just really getting established, and I was really happy to see that come into the area. And I think we would have been quite involved with it if my husband hadn't gotten sick. So, mm-hmm.
With cleaning up the river, is that we've talked a little bit about that, but do you feel that's been a good thing to clean up the river or
get the arsenic out of it?
Yeah.
I'm just in my mind now, this is one of those that I've tossed back and forth, and I thought, well, if they'd have left it there, would it ever have scoured out on its own and gotten to the water system in Missoula, or would it just have stayed there? I can't mm-hmm. figure it out, you know, but you think one way and then you think the other and try to make it work.
Yeah, is that your sense of why maybe it should have just been left in place?
That's kind of the feeling I've had mm-hmm. that, you know, don't just let sleeping dogs lie mm-hmm. is kind of the way I feel about it, so. Mm-hmm.
Do Do you think other folks who were opposed to the initially to the removal of the dam had a similar feeling to you, or was it more about the history of the dam?
I think a lot of it was historical. And then I think the a lot of the people like myself, I thought, now why do they have to do that? I was just in my mind trying to figure it out, but I understand why they're doing it. It seems to be a actual need, if it ever does happen, that that dam would break loose or anything. I mean, it could have been devastating. Hmm.
So here's a sort of a big general question. What do you think the place, the area will be like in 50 years? Envision it sort of? It's a hard question.
Yeah, crystal ball.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping it, but I know it won't be. I'm sure there will be a lot of condominiums built up all over here and there so people can have more affordable housing. I don't think there's going to be too many bigger individual homes built or anything like that, because I just can't visualize people buying a larger piece of land and also starting to build on it. There just isn't the room around here unless they subdivide that mill yard.
Yeah, well, the mill, I mean, if the mill goes... ends, stops. All the houses in Bonner, they own all those houses.
Yeah.
And they own the land under right. all the houses in Milltown.
Right.
So that would be a big change of...
Right. I don't really know what will happen then. Will they allow the people to buy the land?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that'll happen, because we have a lot of friends who live there. And we'd like to see them be able to buy the land if they mm-hmm. wish to.
Do you still have friends from your childhood who are here?
Yeah, I do, actually. The neighbor two doors down, this fellow, he's a couple years older than I am, but he was in grade school and high school with me. And then further down this way, there's another young fellow. I call him young. he's my age. He's a fellow that I knew then, and there's few people, and actually there's more people interested in moving back to the area.
Oh, hmm. Sort of retiring here,
yeah.
Spending.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I found that quite interesting, that people would want to come back here, but there have been some.
Hmm. Your friends who live in Milltown, have they found it difficult to live, to... have a house that they don't own the land under? I mean, has that been a problem over the years?
They've had a 99-year lease, mm-hmm. and they said that they won't live to see the end of the 99 years, mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah.
That seemed to be no problem with them.
I think we're getting close to the end. Are there any other memories or sort of recollections that you want to share with us? Or
about this area?
Yeah.
Or growing up in this area?
Actually, I'm sure mention has been made of the two different churches. And we used to go up. I went to the Lutheran church, but a couple of my girlfriends were Catholic, and they'd go to the other church. And sometimes we'd go up together at the same time because we had things to do at the church. And they would co-mingle. Back and forth, sometimes if one of the churches needed more room for something, an event of some kind, they'd share with each other, share their parking lot if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. And are they still as an important part of the community as they were when you were...
The two churches?
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to be. They seem to be. We've actually gotten away from... going to the church up here. When we moved to Billings, we joined the Presbyterian church there. And then when we came back to Missoula, we were going to the Presbyterian church here, and then that kind of dwindled down. So we are non-church-going Christians.
Were there other organizations that you were involved in growing up?
Oh, yeah, there was quite a few things. I was in the ski club in high school. I was a skier, and...
Were you a Girl Scout when you were little?
Actually, I wasn't a Girl Scout because they didn't have Girl Scouts out here, but I was a counselor at their camp up at Camp Watanopa up at Sealy Lake. And I was a swimming instructor and lifeguard for the girls out there. And I got to do that job for 2 summers in high school, which was really a fun job for me to go up there. And then other groups, what else did I belong to? I used to play bridge with a bunch of girls, but we weren't formally organized.
All right.
Well. Just one other thing that occurred to me was when you went on vacations when you were little, or you went for recreation, not just here, where would you go?
Do you know, my parents never took a real vacation with us. We would go for a day and maybe drive up to Sealy Lake and take our picnic lunch with us, and we'd swim and then come back home in the evening, and that's kind of like what we did. Once in a while, my mother had a cousin in Wallace, Idaho. We went over there a couple times, and we actually stayed overnight, so that was a big deal.
They were hardworking, but they needed to stay close to the shop.
Yeah, well, my dad just, he was a workaholic. Uh-huh. My dad really worked hard and long. And he started making those knives, you know, when he came here in 1938, but not full time. He started doing that in the 50s. Started making them full time. And ever since then, he continued on. And then we started in 1964. And our youngest son was born over here. I was pregnant every time we moved. I just managed to do that. Have to pack everything up when we moved. And I was pregnant each time, but anyway, we moved over here, and he was born here and has lived here all of his life. He's in Missoula now. He's the one who just came in. And we, as far as doing anything else, well, like I said, I skied and I swam and I... just trying to think. I know I was just busy all the time. Then when we did get back here and we had our family, I was a den mother, and I worked with the little boys all the time, and I was also PTA president, and several activities like that. Just kind of had my nose in every direction it would go.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Yes, well, you're welcome.